Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, and thank you that even though we might be still struggle with things in our life, you are still there for us, and you are patient, and you are loving, and you are the person, you are the God who can heal us. You are the Father who we never had here. You are the Mother that never nature us here. You are the God, the ultimate God that can make us whole again. We ask you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So my sermon a bit changed. And it's because the other person, the other sermon that I chose before, I already preached here. So I know I need to write new sermons. So we have a different sermon for today. And this sermon, it's a difficult sermon to say. And I think that you all are quite gracious when you're going to hear this sermon. And I think that this sermon is the sermon that our younger generation should hear it, because it's a Global Youth Day. And, you know, they're out and doing things, and they should be the sermon. And actually, they should today be in the center of here and center of this town and doing things. And I'm really glad that this is actually happening in your church as well, and your initiative as well. But I think that we as a church as well, we are here as a family. And it doesn't matter if we have children or if we don't have children. There are things that we need to teach our children, our young men, our young ladies here, to know what is good and know what is bad. And in 2 Samuel 13, we have the story of Amnon and Tamar. And when I had this story with the youth, as I'm doing as well, we are helping with my husband with the youth at New World Church. Some of them actually were so surprised that we have this kind of stories in the Bible. And I won't be reading the whole story today, but I encourage you to read this story in your free time. And it's hard. It's hard to stand in front of you and talk about abuse and domestic violence. It's hard because I don't know how many of you went through it. I don't know your stories. I don't know who experienced domestic violence in their lives, growing up, at school, in their relationship. I do not know who might have experienced it this week, last night. However, I do believe that it is vital to speak about it. Because each of us just want to be loved and respected. And that's why Jesus gave us his golden rule. Do you know the golden rule that Jesus gave us? Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. We read in Matthew 7:12. It is so simple. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. It's so simple because even the most self-destructive person knows that the abuse they inflict on themselves isn't what they really need, isn't what they really desire. And in Samuel 13, we have a story about Amnon, Tamar, Jonadab, and David. David is the king of Israel. Amnon is David's son, Tamar is his daughter, and Jonadab is his nephew. David is the father of Tamar and Amnon, but they have different mothers. And we read this story. Some time passed, David's sons Absalom had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and David's son Amnon fell in love with her. Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because he loved his sister so much. He wanted his sister so much. You know what? This is the beginning of a beautiful love story, isn't it? A fairy tale. Let's not focus on they were brothers and sisters, okay? Let's just put it on side. It wasn't something uncommon in those days. But let's just focus on the love that he had for Tamar. Who wouldn't want to be loved by someone so much that the other person gets sick, it's so unwell, because they just want to be with you? Who wouldn't want to be loved so much by someone, even once in their lifetime, that you can't eat, you can't do anything, you can't focus on anything, because you love someone so much that you want to give yourself wholly to this other person? So when we just start reading this story, this is what we can see. This is a love story. This is how it began. So Amnon falls in his sister Tamar, and he makes himself so miserable to the point that his cousin Jonadab, he noticed that, and he wants to help him because he's the prince, and whatever he wanted, he would get it. And they are best friends and they are cousins. So Jonadab creates this plan for Amnon, and he says, you know what? If you're going to be like that, if you're going to look like you are sick, we're going to invite your dad, David. And when he comes and he sees you, he will be there to help you. So David comes and he sees his son Amnon being unwell, and he says, what's wrong? How can I help? And he's telling him, well, allow your daughter Tamar and my sister to come and just cook for me, and this will make me feel better. So on one hand, the plan is very innocent. He just needs his sister to come over and to cook for him, because she was a virgin, she shouldn't be alone even with her own brothers at that point. That's why he needs his father and the king's permission for that to happen. So Tamar goes to her brother and she starts preparing the food and she starts cooking. And then when she's almost finished, he wants to give it to him, to his brother, to her brother. But then he says to his staff, go away, and he lets everyone who was working for him to leave his house. And then he does something that no one should do to anyone. And there is a place where I will stop my story, because you can read it further. But Amnon becomes very cruel to his sister, and he uses his dominion and power against her. From Amnon, this story becomes very uncomfortable story, because later we can read in the story that after what he does to Tamar, he's disgusted with her and he throws her away, and she begs him not to. She begs him actually to marry her, that it's not too late still, that David would give her to him and she can be married to him. Because the shame is upon her, and he sees sin in her. The love disappears, and he's disgusted by what he sees, because Tamar reminds him of what he done, and he throws her away. For Tamar, her dreams and hopes stops there. She will never marry, she will never have children, because now she's the reminder of Amnon's cruelty. She's a reminder of Amnon's sin. Amnon took away her future, he took away her chance to embrace a womanhood. And you think, but those things, they don't happen to certain people. Tamar, the daughter of the king, she was the envy of so many other women. Tamar, the princess, the most wanted young bride in Israel. Tamar, one of the most privileged young women. And this happens to her. So Tamar, she goes to live with her brother Absalom, and she remained a desolate woman. When a woman suffers from domestic abuse, it takes her about 7 years for her to open to someone about it. 7 years. But when she is a Christian woman, it takes almost 14 years for her to open. And the fault is not in Christianity. The fault is what kind of environment we make for people who went through abuse. There is compassion for everyone, there's forgiveness to everyone, but there are actions that need to be taken. There are people who need to be separated, not to be abused again. However, in that story, I want to focus on David's reaction to the story. And in verse 21, we read this. When King David heard of all the things that happened, he became very angry. But he would not punish his son Amnon because he loved him, for he was his firstborn. So David hears what happened and he gets angry and he says some angry words. And I can imagine his heart is just so broken. What just happened? He knows what the future Tamar will have now. He knows that because of his influence, because of his agreement, she went through it. And I can't even imagine what father would have to go through to hear this story that happened to his own child. But he's just angry. And there is no action. Justice is served neither by useless anger that takes no action, nor by violent revenge. And I think sometimes it happens in our life. We hear things happening. We hear things happening in our church. We hear them happening all over our town and our country. But we don't do anything about it. And we get angry and we get upset, or sometimes we even say, it's actually too much for us to, I can't cope with that. So I just gonna like separate myself from it. And we are all about talking, and we are all about being justice when it comes to just stops at our words. But we don't like to interfere. In 1933, Hitler comes to power and the persecution towards Jewish people escalates. People around the world in government, they all knew what Nazis were doing, encouraging vandalism and violence against Jewish people. And when there was a time for those countries to open their immigration policies before the Second World War and actually allow the Jewish people to come to their countries, they all say no, apart from Dominican Republic. They all say no because they were saying it's not our problem. We don't want to interfere. We don't want to get involved because it's not our problem. And actually interfering can bring more problem for us where we have a peace now. And we like to do that. Where is the balance of actually seeing someone suffering or seeing that something is not right with the person and then not being involved too much? Can we do that? You know, because when you read the story further, it doesn't stop that Tamar just go to Absalom. There is a revenge. There is anger for so many years kept by Absalom. There is a death of Amnon because of Absalom. There are some things that we as a Christian, we need to say no to. That is some things as a church we need to teach young men and young ladies what is good and what is not good, which behavior is acceptable and which is not acceptable. So they grow and they are full of respect to each other. And you know how you can do it? We can behave more like Columbo. Have you watched Columbo, the TV series, American TV series? It's about a homicide detective. Anybody watch that? Yeah? Yeah, I grew up on that because in Poland we get them 10 years later, so I grew up on them. And you know, I love this TV series because Columbo, he always looked so scruffy, and he looked like he just woke up, you know, he never had iron clothes on him, he always like walked a bit like that, and people, the people who he was investigating, they never took him seriously. Did you notice that? He was never a threat to them. And he would always listen to them, and he would always agree, and he always like looked like he forgot something, you know. But at the end, what they felt that they're okay, that they're comfortable with the lies that they said, and the truth will never come out, he would turn back, and he would say, one more thing. And you know that he knows. And by questioning, and more, he would make them more uncomfortable, and the truth would slowly come out. And I think this is what we need to do as a Christian. Ask questions. And by asking questions, we can build friendship. How are you doing? You know, and a bit more information. How's home? How's everything? And maybe this person won't open to you today, tomorrow, in a few months. Maybe this person will open to you next year. Because that person will know that you actually listen to them. I have a friend in my life who is in an abusive relationship. It's a mental abuse. And we can see the consequences of that, staying with that man, on the children, on her. But it has to be her decision at the end. You can't force anyone, but you can be there to help them. There is a difference. You know, there are abuse that you need to inform the police. There is an abuse that you are responsible for what will happen to this family. And you might not be the most popular person when you get involved, but there are things that need to be done. There are things that can't be tolerated in the church. So our children, they know that they can be safe. Our children, they know that the bad touch is bad touch. Whoever touches you, it doesn't matter if you are in church or outside the church. And sometimes there need to be a consequence, how uncomfortable. And it's not because we find out that there is a person who shouldn't behave in certain way to certain people. It's not a shame to this church. It's actually good thing that you are taking action about that. But you can only take an action when there is a family feel to it. When people know that they can trust you, when children, they can know that they can come to you, when things are not good at home as well, and you will listen and you won't dismiss them. How many times I hear the stories as well as being I'm an elder in Newbold, and you hear the story of dismissal, of children telling you things. But you don't want to get involved, and it's hard, and there needs to be a balance and everything, but you can't allow people to suffer in your church. You can't allow the story of Tamar happened. And things will happen to us, and things will horrible can happen in this life, unfortunately, because this world is full of sin. But it's as well up to us, because Jesus is giving us wisdom how to treat after the consequences as well, sometimes if you are not able to stop it. Because we never learn from history. You know, what happened during the World War? What happened during the years of slavery? And looking at the media now and the news, what we hear, and the segregation, and this race is better and this is worse and all that. It's like, really? Did we not learn anything? But unfortunately, we don't. And people have to suffer again, and your children will have to go through things that they shouldn't because of our negligence. I came from a loving family. My parents, if I can say, they love me too much, you know. Overprotective in one hand, but on the other, lovely people. And I never experienced abuse at home. You know, at school, not really. But I don't have to experience to know it's bad. You don't have to experience to know that it's a bad thing. You don't need to experience to know that you don't want your friends, your family, your children to go through it. So it's up to us, with Jesus' wisdom, to make here the environment for people that will be safe. Environment, the people that say no to violence. And it's not cultural. It's not. It's not because you are from certain culture that abuse is allowed. Because when Jesus came here, there was a need for him to come here. Because the words were not enough for us. They knew all about Jesus. They knew what he wanted for them. We know what he wants for us. But he had to come here and show it again. The action had to be taken. And the way he treated everyone, women and children and men, that was just mind-blowing, to talk to Samaritan women, to talk to children, and listen to them and be compassionate. So when you see someone, you know, under the weather, ask question. Be Colombo. So if the person is going through something, maybe one day, they will know that they can come to you. One Sabbath, I was going through something, and there was this music playing, and it just touched my heart so much that I started crying. And that only happened once, but I couldn't just stop myself from crying. It was like a waterfall. So we had like this room here, and I went there, and I sat down on the sofa, and I was just crying. I covered my eyes, and I was crying. And this elder on duty, this woman, she came to me, and she sat next to me, and she just put her arm around me. And like through the whole ceremony, half an hour or more, I would just sit and cry, and I couldn't even say anything. And she wasn't even asking me any questions. But at that moment, she was my comfort. At that moment, she was my Jesus. And when I stopped crying, she asked me, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Do you need anything?" I said, no, that's fine. And then she went. But for me, that was the most beautiful and compassionate moment I have since I started attending the church. I was born in the church, Adventist. Because this was the moment that I knew that this is not only the church here. This is not some event happening every Sabbath. This is my family. There are people here that I can trust. There are people here that I can be vulnerable with. And it won't become a gossip. It will be a time that I will experience Jesus in my life. So Jesus had to come to this earth to show us how to treat other people, how we're supposed to love each other. So we can, through God's love, create an environment of safety wherever we are. And I want to finish with this poem written by Martin Niemöller. And he was a pastor. And when the persecution of Jewish people started, he wrote this poem. And by reading this poem, I hope that no one can relate to this poem, that no one feels that this is about them. Because only Jesus can give us the loving and the safety that we need. Only Jesus can change us, who maybe don't think that we inflict the domestic violence in our home on people around us, realize that we actually do. First, they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Amen.